I pray this morning, Father, in the name of Jesus, that my words will be spirit and life, that they will drop as the dew of heaven. They will drop and be like honey out of the rock, that my tongue today will be the pen of a ready writer, that I will be able to speak like an oracle of God. The Bible says, if any man speaks, let him speak as an oracle of God. Glory to God. So, Father, I thank you. I know that the entrance of your word brings light. I also know that every time that we come around your word, you always have something good for us. Glory to God. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. O earth, hear the words of my mouth. Let my doctrine drop as the rain this morning, and my speech let it distill as the dew. Even as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, and all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 through 4. And I want to say, before we get going here, I want to say and give this praise and shout out to the Lord for what he has done for us this year up till now. Hallelujah. He has done it, you know, and by his grace, we are here. So let me say it like the words of David, you know, to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father. Hallelujah. Forever and ever. Now, David knew that the Lord was their father. Most people didn't know it. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. And indeed, anywhere else, it's all yours. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great, to give strength unto all, and to keep and to save. Even as at this day, how you have kept us from the beginning of the year until now. Now therefore, O Lord our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to praise the Lord and to stand in his presence this day? For that, O Lord, which you spake by your mouth, glory to God, at the beginning of this year or even the ending of the previous, you have performed it as it is this day with thy holy hand. Thy holy arm has gotten the victory. And here we are. We are at the close of yet another year. Therefore, we give you the praise and we give you the glory. And we know that we are going through the next year. We're not just going into the next year, but we are going through. Praise God. And the Lord will meet us on the other side of 2023. This time next year, by the grace of God, we will be singing and shouting his praise again as we are about to cross into 2024. The Lord will see us through because he is Jehovah Shammah. He's already there. Hallelujah. All the times are in his hands, and we give him the praise and the glory. Thank you, Father. Let thy word proceed forth this morning to encourage, to lift up, to bind the brokenhearted, to heal, to deliver, to set the captives free, to loose. Yes. To loose the bands of oppression, the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to loose the oppressing and oppressive spirits, and to break every yoke in the name of Jesus. We give you, Lord, the glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So yesterday we were here. Glory to God. And today will be kind of a continuation from yesterday, but it will be also a crossover. Hallelujah. So let's go. Today we are talking about the four things that must not go with you to 2023. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to declare this to you today, that these four things will not go with you. And what are these four things? Well, they are the four horns that Satan has put in place to buffet the people of God, to pummel you down, to keep you back, and do all of these things, and so forth. But God has also given us, my goodness, a counter effect to those things. Now let's read that story in Zechariah chapter 1. We're going to read from verses 18 to about 21. The book of Zechariah. The Lord showed this prophet this vision. He didn't understand it. You know, so he asked the Lord. He said, you know, what are these things that I'm seeing? And of course, the Lord explained it to him. Hallelujah. The angel of the Lord has stood by. So let's read it from verse 18. Then I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. Saw four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what are these? And he said unto me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Now, so these horns, they are the arsenal of the devil to beat down, to push down, to pummel, to discourage, to hold back, to do everything to the children of God. And these four horns, I'm going to tell you what they are in a minute. I'm going to tell you also how we're going to break their power. We're going to do it in this room. Glory to God. The Lord also showed me four carpenters, because according to the word of the Lord, every time in Isaiah 59 and 19, every time that the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord always has an answer, has a standard to raise against him. Glory to God. So he also asked, he said, what are these carpenters? The angel spoke to him and said, these horns are the ones that scattered Judah so that no man can lift up their head. You know, they beat down the people of God, done all these things, held them back, tormented them, added all kinds of things to them to make sure that, you know, they are always distracted and not focus on the things of God, like we were talking about yesterday. But these four carpenters have come to squash those horns. Glory to God. And to cast them out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that's what we're going to be doing in this room this morning. You stay with me now. Stay with me, but engage God in the spirit as we go through here. So what are these horns? Well, the book of Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 6 reveals the secret. And these horns can only be broken, you know, through serious fasting and praying. Now, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 58 and verse 6, these four horns are described here. The strategy of the enemy to weaken the people of God, to weaken their hands, to keep them from moving forward, to keep them from attaining their full potential. Bring all kinds of things upon the children of God. These four horns, we're going to attack them this morning. Glory to God. Isaiah 58 and verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? In this verse, you're going to see those four horns. To loose the bands of wickedness. That's horn number one. The bands of wickedness. To undo the heavy burdens. That's number two. The heavy burdens. To let the oppressed go free. That's number three. And to break every yoke. So we have bands of wickedness, heavy burdens, oppression and oppressive spirits, and then every satanic yoke that the devil has used to afflict the people of God and to wear them out. Well, these things are not coming over to 2023. I'm going to put them in their place today. Glory to God. If you believe that, you can say amen. Put your amen in the chat room. Glory to God. We are going to put an end to that. Thus far and no further. Hallelujah. So let's take a look at how these things work. The bands of wickedness, heavy burdens, oppression and oppressive spirits, and numerous yokes that the devil puts upon the people of God. Well, let's look at some of the ways that the devil does these things. In the book of Exodus, chapter 5, and some of you may have heard me refer to this before. Here's what Pharaoh began to say to the people. He said, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest from their burdens. This was when Moses, of course, went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. Pharaoh said, you know, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? You know, Moses said, the Lord said so. He said, no. And so everything, you know, he said, get you to your burdens, you know, get you to your burdens, get you to your burdens. Why are you letting the people, you know, relax and get away from their works? So Pharaoh said, look, this is what I'm going to do. These people are resting from their burdens. So Pharaoh commanded the same day in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 6, the taskmasters of the people and their officers saying, you shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore, you know, as you have done up to now. From now on, let them go and gather straw for themselves. Yet the tale of bricks which they used to make, ye shall lay upon them, ye shall not diminish aught thereof. For they be idle, they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let there be more work laid in upon the men, that they may labor therein and not regard vain words. See, that's the tactic. Put more burdens upon them, that they have time on their hands to think about worshiping the Lord. You know, put more burdens on them. Let there be more labor. Let them have more bills to pay. You know, let there be sickness in their family. Let their jobs, you know, let them lose their jobs. You know, let there be problem. Let them have problem with their families and their children. Put more burdens on them. You know, let them not have peace. And they won't have time to seek the Lord. When they have peace and rest from their labors, then they'll say, we want to go and worship the Lord. No. We are going to come at them with more problems, laden them with more work, laden them with more this and that. Put all kinds of things. If they are students, make sure they have more exams. If they are workers, make sure they have more projects. If they are entrepreneurs in the business, in the marketplace, make sure there's failure. Make sure they have all kinds of things, disappointments for their clients and everything. All kinds of things that they can be, you know, consumed with so that they won't have time to say, I'm going to worship the Lord. They are late. They are idle. They are idle. That's why they say, we're going to go worship the Lord. So lay more burdens upon them. Now, the same tactic, the devil has been using it, and he's still using it up until this day. He's using it still. Lay more burdens upon them. Put more heavy loads upon them. Put more yokes. We're going to be talking about yokes in a little bit. You know, so pants of wickedness. Did you know that the scripture says we wrestle not against flesh and blood? What are the things that we are wrestling with? Well, spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, what's a spiritual wickedness? What are these bands of wickedness? What are they? I mean, how in the world do they operate? You know, because we don't want Satan to get advantage of us. Many people don't know these things, right? They don't know. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, you got to be strong in the Lord. Don't be, you know, scripture says, quit ye like men. Be strong. Don't be a pushover for the devil. You got to be strong. You know, you need to hold your own. Don't let the devil play ping pong with your life. No, you got to be strong. And how do you do it? You got to put on the whole armor of the Lord, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we are revealing and exposing, you know, some of the four greatest horns that the devil uses against the people of God. We are exposing them here today. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6 and verse 12, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, how do these spiritual wickedness, how does it work? Well, I'll tell you how it works. You know, people are going about their business. All kind of things will happen. They may be driving down the road. The spiritual wickedness in high places, boom, hit their car, their tire, explodes, you know, and run out of control, and it hits somebody else, multiple car collision, and many lives may be lost. Spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, you're going down the road. The enemy may even strike at the traffic control lights. All of a sudden, and then cause collision. Spiritual wickedness, because he wants to see people die. People are going about their business. All of a sudden, boom, one day they just fall down, collapse. And so forth. And you can think about it so many ways that the enemy will come against the people. Spiritual wickedness. And then, of course, satanic altars. You know, we can't even get into those, all of those today that devil has erected. I'll tell you something that the Lord showed me some time ago. You know, when I say showed, you know, it's the way that the Lord shows me things. And I'll just be seeing it, even though I'm not seeing it. And then he'll be telling me, and, you know, and then I'll be understanding it. The Lord showed me this thing. And I saw that devil or some agency of darkness. He took out a contract. It was a contract. And he began to write down some names on that contract that he wanted to take out. You know. But I was looking, and I was trying to see if I can figure out those names so maybe I could do something about it. But the page was blank. And I kept looking, but he was writing furiously. You know? And then I heard a voice that said, void! We are prohibited by law. And I never understood that at the time. He said, void! We are prohibited by law. Hallelujah. And did you know that in many states of this great country, even here in the state of Arizona, there is an underlining state law behind any contract? You know, you may sign a contract, you may put your name on it, the other party may put their signature on it, but if it is contrary to state law, it is void. Hallelujah. And so the voice said, void, we are prohibited by law. And I said, what law? The law of the kingdom. Glory to God. If you are in that kingdom and you're walking under the rules of the kingdom, under the government of that kingdom, those contracts, the agreement with hell, The covenant with death shall not stand. Glory to God. Say, your agreement with hell shall be disannulled. Your covenant with hell shall not stand. Glory to God. So I saw that and I said, wow, what a marvelous thing. Woo-hoo-hoo. Now, if you can understand that, then you know that you are secure. Hallelujah. What a marvelous thing. Glory to God. That the devil, you know, can take out or try to take out a contract over you, but it will not stand. Isaiah 28 and verse 18. Your covenant, hallelujah, with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. Glory to God. Now, so, but the enemy, you know, he's like, you know, he will never give up. Look, if you beat him down, he'll spring up his ugly head again. You beat him out again, he'll spring up his ugly head again. In fact, when the devil came at Jesus in the desert, in the wilderness, to tempt him, and then Jesus beat him down with the word of God, Bible says the devil departed for a season. He will try to come back again, and you got to keep beating him down. And we're going to beat him down some today. Glory to God. I love the fact that the Bible says that Jesus whooped that devil. He went down to hell, the gates of hell. He whooped the devil from pillar to post, and he got the keys of hell and death. You know, this agreement with death, the agreement that the devil had the keys to try to send people to hell and death, the Lord got that from him. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And he said to John on the Isle of Patmos, he said, I am Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah. I love the sound of that, don't you? I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Revelation 1, verses 17 and 18. And now, he even put amen in it. I am alive forevermore. Amen. I mean, God doesn't need to say amen to something. It's already amen when he says it. But he put that amen right there for you. And have the keys of hell and of death. And we read yesterday in 1 John 3, verse 8, how the Lord was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. And you know, even about death and so forth, I mean, death is one of those things that the devil uses, you know, to bring fear unto the people. And if he can get you in a grip of fear and can grip you in a grip of something, then he got you, you know. So Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 will tell you this. For as much then, well, let me read from verse 13. Guess what the Lord said actually, let me read it from verse 11, just to give us some context. For both he and that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he, Christ, is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then, this is where I'm going. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same. Jesus came in flesh and blood. That through death, glory to God, through his death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject unto bondage. Now, did he do it? That's the question. If you think he did it, put your answer in the chat room. Did he do it? When he said it is finished, did Christ actually accomplish this thing? Did he vanquish the devil? Did he do it? Who came out on the victor side in that conflict? Did Jesus win or did the devil win? And that's an answer that we need to figure out. Everybody needs to figure this out for themselves. Did Jesus win? Did he? Did he make an open show of principalities and powers? Did he nail them, you know, to the cross? I mean, all the handwriting of the things that the devil put against us. Did he do it? According to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15. Let's see if he did it. Glory to God. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15. It says that Christ. In fact, let me read it from verse 13. And you being buried, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, Christ has quickened you together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now that's A-L-L. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, his cross. Now, handwriting of ordinances. What was that all about? Well, the devil, I looked at it, you know, I looked at that vision. It was an handwriting of ordinances. Devil was trying to put your name on that thing, but Jesus blotted it out. It was the blood that made that writing that the devil was writing to be blank. He was writing it, and I was looking at it, but it wasn't, nothing was showing up on the page because the blood of Jesus blotted it out. And he said, it's now void. We are prohibited by my law, the law of liberty for the sons of God. Glory to God, the law of the kingdom. He blotted out the handwriting. The devil would like to put your name on there. And as a matter of fact, he did. But Jesus blotted it out. Glory to God. You know, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, that was contrary to us. All the things that devil accuser of the brethren, that he tried to put, Jesus took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross and having spoiled. Listen to this. Now, I'm saying, did he do it? Let's see whether he did it. Having spoiled. Now that's past tense. After he had spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now somebody ought to shout the victory. Glory to God. He did it. He did it. He spoiled the principalities and powers. So all those oppressing spirits and everything else that the devil tries to put upon us, he spoiled them all. Now let's talk about, you know, breaking the bands of wickedness. How do we do it? Now remember, the bands of wickedness, that's one of the horns. So how do we break those bands? Now, I'm going to give you some scriptures. Take note of these scriptures. And as we paste them in the chat room, I want everybody to take note of these scriptures because this is it. This is how you do it. You cannot defeat the devil except by the word of God. Jesus demonstrated. So any other way that you can defeat the devil, you are going to fail if you are not using the word of God. You know, you no matter how great your faith is, your faith cannot be based on your faith. Your faith has to be based on the word of God. You know, so, I mean, you know, I was a young man once and I had tremendous faith. And I used to believe that I could believe for God, anything. And I always thought it was the size of my faith, you know, because I could believe God for anything. It didn't matter anything I believed for. It always came to pass too, and God honored it. But later on in life, I learned that, you know, it wasn't your faith. It was the word of God that I was quoting. And it was the greatness of the size of my God. Glory to God. It wasn't the size of my faith. But I was always using the word of God. But I thought it was because I was believing God. Well, of course, you have to believe God. If you don't believe God, the word of God will have no effect. But you must use the word of God. It is written, is what Jesus said every single time. Jesus didn't try to say some other thing, you know. So he showed us how to do it. So here are the scriptures. Some scriptures, you know, to help us to combat these horns. In the book of, first of all, we're talking of bands of wickedness. I'm going to go through them one by one. In the book of Luke, chapter 11, right? So let's look at verse 21. When a strong man that is armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him, that's right. In another place he said, then bind him. He are overcoming and taketh from me all his armor in which he trusted. Then he divides his spoils. So that's number one. We have to know that through the name of Jesus, we are stronger than the devil. You know, we can go in there. Hallelujah. We can go in there and begin to spoil him. Bind him, spoil him, and so forth. We're going to do some of that in this room today and show you the scriptures of how to do it. Isaiah 49 and verse 25. This is how we do it. You know, even those who have put their necks willingly under the devil, either out of knowledge or lack of knowledge or whatever, you know, we will still, you know, we still will know that the Lord can deliver. Isaiah 49 and verse 25. You know, these are the things that the Lord has given us power to do. Glory to God. He says, let me start from verse 24. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? I mean, this man that's keeping his palace, that's got his, you know, captives, got them bound and everything. Are you going to take it away from his hand? I mean, and when a lion has made a kill, can you go there and yank that thing out of the mouth of the lion? Yes. David did that, actually. Glory to God. David did that. A lion came and stole one of the little kids, from the flock, and thought he had a kill, you know, and was still carrying it. You know, those lions, they would carry that thing and drag it over to some place and then settle down. David went after him. Glory to God. Can that prey be taken from the mouth of the, of the mighty? Absolutely. David did it. And this scripture says, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. The bear also came out against the flock one day, took one of those little things. David said, no, not on my watch. You're not going to do it. David went out at him. He got into a fist fight. Can you imagine getting into a fist fight with a lion? My goodness. David was not afraid. He got into a fist fight with that, you know, with that bear. Those bears, when they stand up, they're like 9 feet tall. When that thing stood up, he said, when he stood up against me, he said, I smote him, took him by the beard and I smote him. And one day I was looking and the Lord showed me this thing. You know, that's how the Lord shows me things. You know, David had this, and yeah, I'm going to find this in the Bible, but that's how the Lord showed it to me. He had this, you know, it's like a little skillet light. He had a very sharp, it was a shepherd light that he had in the sheath here, you know, and I put that thing, you know, in the mouth of the lion. He put it right underneath his jaw like this. I put it there. Glory to God. My goodness. He stuck that thing in there. And I'm looking at it. I said, wow, that he did it. And the lion, you know, he got a few scars too. David didn't tell you that. But I guarantee you, he got a few scars. And I saw it, you know. But he came out of there. You know how people say when you've been in a fight and they say, what happened to you? They say, well, you should have seen the other guy. Glory to God. You know, many people saw the scars on David and say, what happened to you? You should have seen the other guy. That's right. David went after the lion and he went after the bear. And he's not, you're not taking anything that's mine. Not on my watch, you're not. Hallelujah. So the prey of the mighty shall be taken. The lawful captive shall be even delivered. You know, the Lord had given the lion the ability to roam around in the wilderness and grab whatever they want. The lion is not afraid of nobody. You're not going to scare that lion off. He roams around looking for whom to devour. He does that. You know, but, you know, when he captures something, he thinks it's his own because he's right. He's the king of the jungle, right? But David said, not today, you're not. I'm right here. And you're not going to do it. And so David went up against him. So that's one way how you do it. You go up against that devil and you're not going to let him take what is yours. Not anymore. You're going to say, No. This house, this family is now under new management. Enough of that already. Glory to God. Now, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. And I, the Lord, will contend with him that contended with thee, and I will save thy children. I mean, that's a strange thing to put there. Save your children. Yes, because your children might have been taken captive by the enemy. They might have gone into, you know, places where they shouldn't be. But you're going to get them out of there by the force of spiritual arms. You're going to get them out of there. And the Lord says they will return from the land of the enemy. Glory to God. They will definitely return. Don't worry about it. You keep praying and you keep believing, they will return. He said unto thee in Jeremiah 31 and verses 16 and 17, thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah 31 and 16, refrain your voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears. For thy work, and I put in parentheses, over your children shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again from their border. Glory to God. They're going to come. And so you stay right there with the word. You use that word. And here is the scripture I gave you at the end of the room yesterday. Isaiah 52 and verse 2. And that, now this is one sure way to lose the bands of wickedness. We're talking about the bands of wickedness. I got three more to go. You know, I got to move this along here. The bands of wickedness, Isaiah 52 and verse 2. How do you do it? Well, this is the way the Lord instructed us to do it. You know, you don't need to be looking to the left or the right. You don't need to be looking for help here and there. You can do it yourself. If you are a child of God, particularly if you are filled with the Holy Ghost, my goodness, this is how you do it. Shake yourself from the dust. Hallelujah. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of wickedness that the devil has put around your neck. O captive daughter of Zion. Don't be captive. Don't just be a hope of prisoner. I mean, a prisoner of hope. Lose yourself from these things. You can do it too. So this is how you lose yourself from the bands. How do you do it? Well, you do it by using the word of God. Say, the enemy shall not exact upon me, for the Lord has made me free. And whomsoever Jesus has set free, he is free indeed. You begin to quote those scriptures, you know, like John chapter 8 and verse 32. You begin to quote those scriptures for yourself. Hallelujah. You quote it. You say, look, I have known the truth. The truth has made me free. I know the truth of the word of God. You quote verse 36. That was John 8:32. Then you quote verse 36. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free. They say, well, I am free. Glory to God. And Jesus said, look, in Matthew, you know, 11 and verse 28, he put out the invitation. He said, you know, all you that are heavy laden, I'm going to come to those heavy burdens in a minute. You know, all the heavy burdens, all the heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Matthew 11 and 28. Take my yoke upon you. Get rid of the other yoke that devil put on your neck. Be now yoked with the Lord, because his own yoke is different, you know. And I'll talk about yokes in a bit. My yoke is easy. You'll find rest to your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Not like the burden of the Lord is not grievous. Burden of the Lord is actually the zeal for the Lord's house. The zeal to be, you know, to just be consumed with the things of God. That's his burden. It's not the other burdens that we face in life. So it's how you lose the bands of wickedness. Let's talk about heavy burdens. I'm already talking about that now. I jumped ahead to heavy burdens. And my scripture for that is the one I'm reading right now. Matthew 11:28 to 30. That's my scripture for loosening heavy burdens. You got to stand the word and say that Jesus already gave me the invitation. I have taken his yoke, and I will no longer put my head under the yoke of the king of Assyria or the devil or anybody else. Glory to God. I've got the yoke of the Lord. Now, Paul said, look, let no man bother me anymore, because I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, look, devil, you cannot. There's no other place for you to put a yoke on me. I've got the yoke of the Lord already. Glory to God. You cannot put any other burdens of me. I've got the burden of the Lord already. And you begin to use the word of God. Woo-hoo. My goodness, that's how you push the enemy back. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 14. Hallelujah. We're going to read two verses there, maybe 24 or 25, somewhere in there. Isaiah 14. Let's read from verse 24. Glory to God. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian. Huh? Glory to God. That represents the satanic forces that have put these horns against you. Now we're talking about the heavy burdens now. I will break the Assyrian in my land and upon my mountains. I will tread him underfoot. We're reading now Isaiah 14 and verse 25. I will tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off of them, and his burden shall depart from off their shoulders. Now, you begin to use this verse. You begin to say in prayer. Now, this is not the kind of prayer that you pray on your knees. Oh, no. You don't pray this kind of prayer on your knees, folks. You pray on your knees when you are praying to the Father. When you are dealing with the devil, you are not praying on your knees. You are in a fight. This is a fight for your life. You know, and you're not, you know, the lion come and take something from you. You're going to be on your knees. He's going to finish you. You're going to go after him. Glory to God. You're going to be strong and the power of God's might. And you're not going to back down. Not anymore. And it's the last day of the year. And we're putting an end to all of that that the devil has brought upon the people of God. Now, this is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. Hallelujah. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Woo-hoo-hoo. And in the year that King Asa died, was this burden. So the Lord, he fulfilled that already. So you can go and say to the devil, you can quote these scriptures when you are in the fight, and you are always in a fight, you know. So the next thing that we are going to deal with is oppression and oppressing spirits. We've dealt with bands of wickedness. We've dealt with loosening the heavy burdens. We've also seen how the enemy through Pharaoh the Lord showed us how Pharaoh tried to put those things on you to make sure you don't have time to worship the Lord. Now we're going to talk about oppressing spirits, oppression. And the enemy tries to bring upon the people of God. You know, even when Jesus was going to read in the synagogue this thing about from Isaiah 61. There's some things that in Isaiah 61, that he talks about what Jesus is anointed to do. And you can quote this for yourself too, because this is what Jesus came to do. He went to the synagogue, took that book, the scrolls of Isaiah. He found a place where it was written. And in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, he began to read it. But here's what he was reading from in Isaiah 61, was where he was reading from. And Jesus, you know, put his signature on it and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your eyes. What did he say? He said, well, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. I'm bringing good tidings here today. Glory to God. And he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That's how he heals depression. That's brokenheartedness. depression. There's so much depression in the world today. And some depression actually comes upon the children of God when we do not set our affection on things that are above. Now, we read that the other day in Colossians chapter 3. He said, look, set your affection on things that are above and not things beneath. Now, when we set our affection on things beneath and we lose those things, then depression sets in. And that's another way that depression sets in. So we need wisdom also. Set your affection on things above and not on things beneath. And so that's the way that depression will come in sometimes and so forth. You can read that in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. But we're back to Isaiah 61. In this Isaiah 61, he talks about, healing the brokenhearted. That's oppressing spirits. What makes them to be brokenhearted? Well, they are oppressed and they are depressed. That's why they are brokenhearted. But the Lord says, I can heal all of that and I'm sent to do it too. And he did it. We've already seen that he accomplished that. When he said it is finished on the cross, the apostles, they told us that he, after he had spoiled principalities and powers, so he did it. He said, look, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. That's right. We're going to set the oppressed. We're going to let them go free. Remember, Isaiah 58 and verse 6, that we let the oppressed go free. That's the same thing he's saying here. Proclaim liberty to the captives. Bind the mighty that is holding them. Come upon him with a stronger power than he. Bind him and set his captives free. Oppressing spirits, opening up prison doors to them that are bound. All these things, the Spirit of the Lord is already here to give us victory over that. Now, let's look at, we've already read Isaiah 49, 25, where the Lord said he can release, he will release even the captives from the mouth of the mighty. Even though they put their neck willingly through foolishness, the Lord said he will release them. Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 54. And verse 14. And see how the Lord again, these are the scriptures that we must use when we are in this fight with the devil. And it is a fight. Hallelujah. In righteousness shall thou be established, and thou shalt be far from oppression. So this is a scripture that you have to claim. The Lord already said, I will be far from oppression or depression or oppressing spirits. For thou shalt not fear, and from the terror of the devil, because it will not come near thee. And if it comes near thee, then you got to push back with the word of the Lord and say, no, that's contrary to the word of God. The word of God says, I will be established in righteousness, that I will not be in fear, and I will not be afraid of any terror. Psalm 91 will tell you that too. Any terror of the night, terror of the day, arrows that fly by day, bullets and all these things, they shall not come near thee. Why? Because you are under a different law, a different government. You are under the government of the kingdom of God. And he shall give his angels charge over you. Praise God. And because you are dwelling in him, there shall no evil come near you. Because, the evil can come inside a fortress, where the fortress is the Lord himself. The Lord is my fortress. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you begin to use these things against the devil. Listen to Isaiah chapter 51. And let's read two verses there from verses 12 and 13. Isaiah 51 verses 12 and 13. Glory to God. Stay with me. I got to give you all these scriptures and then we're going to pray. I am he that comforted you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die? And the son of man that shall be made as grass. Why are you afraid of them? And why you are afraid of them, you forget the Lord. Say, and you forget the Lord which has stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. And you have feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor. as if he were ready to devour. And the Lord said, where is the fury of the oppressor? I'm looking, I can't see it. Because the fury of the oppressor is broken already. Now, there is a room we did some weeks ago called The Fury of the Oppressor is Broken. Go back and listen to those replays. I think it will bless you. The fury of the oppressor is broken. When they brought Dagon into the house of the Lord in front of the ark, he fell down twice. And they broke, you know, broke on that in front of the presence of the Lord. The fury of the oppressor is broken. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, let's go on and read Psalm 9. We're going to read from the Psalms. And David also has something to say about this. But he was had been in a few fist fights in his life. And he knows what it's all about. Let's look at Psalm 9. You know, the Lord, she said, the Lord also shall be a refuge for the oppressed. This is Psalm 9 and verse 9. We're talking about oppressing spirits. You know, you say, these are the scriptures that we use. You know, the Lord is my refuge from oppression. I will not be oppressed. He will be my refuge in times of trouble. Psalm 9 and verse 9. You use these scriptures to fight against oppressing spirits and depression and these kind of things. Now, here is the strongest part of it all. Numerous yokes. Remember, we're covering the four horns. The first is bands of wickedness. The second is heavy burdens. The third is oppression and oppressing spirits. And the fourth is numerous satanic yokes that the enemy puts against and over the people of God. So let's look at it. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 13. And these are the scriptures that you will use. Glory to God. I am the Lord your God. I love it when the Lord puts his signature on things like that. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. Glory to God. God didn't want that to happen. Doesn't want you to be a bondman to anybody. And I have broken the bands of your yoke to make you go upright. You know, those yokes were put on, they couldn't even stand upright. They laid upon them heavy burdens. They are bent over the whole time. They were bent over. And they could not stand upright because of all the heavy burdens they had to carry. And yoke them up with one another to carry those things, just like as if they were oxen. I mean, they treated them like animals. But the Lord said, I've broken all of that. Now you can stand upright. Don't bend down again. Glory to God. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Hallelujah. The Lord is your glory and the lifter up your head. I've broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. Now, this is a scripture you can use against the devil. He said, the Lord has broken the bands of my yoke. And now I stand upright. Glory to God. I'm not going to be bent over again under these heavy burdens and these yokes. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27. The anointing of the Lord is what breaks the yoke, folks. And his anointing is in this room. Just like we did yesterday, the power of the Lord is present to heal. The anointing of God is present to destroy these four horns. Hallelujah. It shall come to pass in that day, such as this, that his burden, the Assyrian's burden and the enemy's burden, the devil's burden, shall be taken off of thy shoulder. And all the satanic yokes off of thy neck, and those yokes shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Huh. Glory to God. And you can stand in the word of the Lord. You can use Isaiah 61 and say, the Lord has anointed me to break every yoke. The anointing of the Lord, the breaking the yoke in my life. You can quote this Isaiah 10 and 27 that the Lord said, you know, that he burdened the yoke. Take it away from off my shoulder and off my neck. Hallelujah. Isaiah 54 and verse 11. We read Isaiah 54 verse 14 before. Now let's read Isaiah 54 and verse 11. Hallelujah. O thou afflicted. Now that sounds like many people in this room now. Or later that are listening. Are you afflicted? Are you tossed with the tempest and not comforted? Has the devil laid many satanic yokes upon you? The Lord said, look, I'm going to now beautify you with my salvation. Behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and thy foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy windows of agates, thy gates of carbuncles, and thy borders of pleasant stones. Even thy children shall be taught of the Lord. Great shall be the peace of thy children. Hallelujah. The Lord said, look, if you are afflicted, if you are in despair, sometimes people are even afflicted and in despair of life, you know, and they wonder, you know, how they can go on. Well, this is how you go on. And today we're going to make sure these things don't cross over with you into 2023. Praise God. Let's see how God did some things for them in Psalm 107. We're going to read verses 15 and 16. And there's a song we sing about this one, right? We sing it. Oh, that man should praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, because his mercies are good. There's been wonderful works to the children of men. And what else? Well, he has broken the gates of brass. Not that he will, but he has already done it. And he has cut the bars of iron in sunder. And you can say, look, all these gates that are holding me back, the gates of hell that are trying to prevent me from getting into the gates of heaven. And all the bars and so forth, windows of bars of brass, gates of brass, bars of iron, everything that the devil's put there to hedge you in, to hem you in, to hold you back. The Lord said, I've already broken. You have broken the gates of brass, cutting sunder the bars of iron. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There are a few more verses that you can use. And then I'm going to come to sicknesses and diseases. We dealt with a lot of them yesterday, but I'm going to come to them also in a minute. Now let's quickly read Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 4. I'm not giving you these verses in any particular order. I'm just giving them as the Lord leads here. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 4. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden. Hallelujah. And the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor. You know? So the Lord has already broken these things. He has snapped the rod of oppression. He has broken the yoke. Hallelujah. So we can use this in scriptures. I mean, these scriptures in our fight against the devil. Listen to verse 5. For every battle of the warrior, we confuse noise and garments rolled in blood. But this one shall be with burning and fuel of fire. We're taking no prisoners. Glory to God. We are taking no prisoners here. When you vanquish the devil, you stamp him, you crush him, you know, stamp the residue on that foot. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because the devil has done so many things against the children of God. It's time for us to get an advantage. Hallelujah. Now let's look at some of these sicknesses and diseases. Here are some few scriptures that you can use. Exodus 15 and 26. We read this yesterday. That the Lord said, you know, I will not put any of these sicknesses upon you. So you can use that. When the enemy brings a sickness, now sickness is part of the yokes. You know, a yoke, when somebody is sick, either you or a family member, it's a yoke. It's a heavy burden. It's an oppression. It brings depression. You're running a helter-skelter. All these things. You know, they all work together. All these four horns. They come to fray and to scatter. I mean, They come to pommel, to buffet the children of God. But the carpenters that the Lord sent, the anointings, the four anointings, each one to come against each of those horns, will break them down. That's what we're doing here this morning. So we see that in Exodus 15 and 26. I'm not going to read that. We read that again yesterday already. So let me read Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 15. It will tell you the same thing. Glory to God. You know, the Lord, he wants us to be separate. I will take away from thee all sickness. Hallelujah. And will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee. Hallelujah. But will lay them upon all them that hate you. A devil, he can take the sickness if he wants, but that's, it's not going to be on me. The Lord said, I will take away sickness from thee. All. That's A-L-L. A-L-L. Glory to God. Hallelujah. A-L-L. So let's take note of that. Now, why is the Lord doing all of this? Because even Isaiah prophesied it before Jesus even came. This was part of his mission. Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5. I think we may have read this yesterday also. This was part of his mission. You know, his mission was to get rid of all those things. He said he was wounded for he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. You know, our griefs, those are the burdens that the devil laid upon us. He carried our sorrows, you know, and all these things, wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities, and all that. Glory to God. So this is it, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. Now, you heard the lesson. So here is what we are going to do. We are going to go into a time of prayer. And I want to remind you that the Lord, he put a difference between the children of Israel and the children of Egypt. And I remember that in our local church here in Phoenix, Arizona, as we were coming into first part of 2020, at that time I didn't even know about the pandemic or anything like that. The first service. So I was waiting on the Lord several days before that. The Lord said, speak to them that I will put a difference and make a differentiation between them and the world, and that there was going to be calamities in the world, but I will put a difference between them. And I spoke that. And there are some who are in this place today that can bear witness to that. Exodus chapter 11 and verse 7. You know, the Lord said, look, all the evil that will happen in the land of the children, Egypt. He said, there shall be a great cry throughout the land of Egypt, and there shall be none like it. Well, there was a great cry throughout the world, in the pandemic and everything. But against any of the children of Israel shall not even a dog move his tongue. Against man or beast, that's anything that belongs to the children of Israel. God will protect them. That you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. So the Lord is going to put the difference. Now we're going to break some yokes here this morning. Are you ready? Are you ready to break some yokes here this morning? Glory to God. Are you ready? We got to break some yokes here this morning. Hallelujah. You know, the devil, he would like to put those yokes and retain those yokes, retain his thing. But the Bible says when he retains, any time that he retains his things in his palace, he thinks he's good. But when the stronger than him shall come upon, are you stronger than the devil? How? Well, he said, ye young men have written unto you because you are strong and you overcome the devil. We are stronger by the power of the Lord that is in us, not in our own strength. Go up against the devil in your own strength, he'll finish you. But when you go up in the name of the Lord, the name that is above every name, the name that Jesus was given that is higher than every name. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus is higher than every name. So we're going to go into a time of prayer and a time of declaration right now. Now I'm going to decree and I'm going to declare some things that these four things will not go with you into 2023. You're going to leave them behind. Hallelujah. We're going to leave behind bands of wickedness that the enemy has tried to put upon us. Hallelujah. We're going to leave behind the heavy burdens. We're going to leave behind oppression and all oppressing spirits. And we're also going to leave behind the numerous yokes that the enemy has tried to put upon us. These are the four horns and the arsenal of the devil against the children of God. But God also has four carpenters, the anointings that he gives. Isaiah 58 and verse 6. I'm giving you a summary now before we pray. And in that, under the consecrated fasting, he said, break every yoke, loose the bands of wickedness, undo the heavy burdens, and let the oppressed go free. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, glory to God. I thank you because there is a name, hallelujah, that has been given above all other names, the name of Jesus Christ. The same Jesus of Nazareth, who went all the way on our behalf, who took the handwriting of ordinances, blotted them out, nailed them to the cross, and made an open show of principalities and powers. We thank you, Lord, because you did that. And scripture says, after he had spoiled principalities and powers, glory to God, made an open show of them. Finished the works of darkness. And through his death, he set at liberty those that were under the bondage of the fear of death all their lives. Now, so death is another thing that needs to be broken. The fear of it is even worse than the thing itself. People are afraid of death. And all these things are oppressing spirits. And so today, Father, in your name, by the anointing of the scriptures and the Holy Spirit, I come against the bands of wickedness. Glory to God. The bands of wickedness that the enemy puts on him. Sudden calamities, sudden tragedy. You know, all of a sudden, you know, things come upon people, stroke and all of these things, and sudden illnesses, accidents and various things. You know, their house just suddenly blows up and things like that. All those wickedness in high places, come against them in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. I come against all of the heavy burdens that the enemy have put upon you. And you got to be wise. We dealt with this yesterday. You got to be wise against those distractions. The enemy put those distractions upon you so you will not be able to focus on the Lord. And then there are numerous yokes. There are even those little foxes that spoil the vine. Unforgiveness is there. Bitterness, backbiting, and so forth. Unforgiveness is a heavy burden. When you don't forgive and the other person is not forgiving, it's a heavy burden. They carry it. Lose that, saith the Lord. Undo the heavy burdens. Glory to God. Lose the heavy burdens, saith the Lord, and let the oppressed go free.